your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name, sing with me, what a beautiful name. Without us, Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love is greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is.
As it is in heaven. Lord, today we surrender our lives to you. Bow ourselves, O God, in true humility before you. We subject ourselves unto you. And from this position of humility, we resist every enemy and they flee before us. For your voice, O God, goes before us as a thunder. And Lord, O God, your blast, even the blast from your breath as a consuming fire consumes every enemy. Thank you, Lord, O God, that your grace is sufficient and we are empowered to succeed in every realm. Thank you, Lord. It is well with our souls because of the victory that you have wrought, and it's now ours in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to have you this evening here to study the Word of God together. We declare that the goodness of God is revealed unto us by the authority of His Word. And we are in the book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and I believe the 19th verse. Having problems with my iPad. Okay, cleared up. Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and I believe we're in the 19th verse. Proverbs 15 and verse 19. I think that's where we stopped last week. Here it says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. We know what a hedge is supposed to be. A hedge is a boundary. So it is a place of limitation. And it says here, the way of the slothful lazy person is as an hedge of thorns. That's what he sees. Now, the Word of God also says to us that because of the sin of a man, that the earth was going to yield thorns to him. So, in that sense, thorns represents lack. So here it says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns. It's a hedge of lack, defeat, shame, lack of progress. To try to break it, you have to go through those thorns. But I'm thankful that the Lord took those thorns in his head. That gives me a thought that this hedge of thorns of the slothful is related to his thinking, to his mind. The Lord Jesus Christ bled from his head through those thorns that were placed on him to address every mind issue. So the Word of God tells us about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, to break the backbone of slothfulness is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the way you think. People, let me put it this way. If we spend our time praying for money, we are in a bad place. Because money comes through ideas. Thinking. If you have no ideas, you get stuck in one spot. There are people that have been working in particular positions for 10, 20, 30 years that have no way of growing. They've come to the end. and he cannot break through it because they've not come up with new ideas. And because they have no new ideas, they see nothing beyond where they are right now. You see nothing. This stalk. It's that thorn. So when the Word of God talks about this slothful man here, it's not just talking about slothful in terms of physically lazy. It's talking about being mind lazy. Now, if you're mind lazy, then you're going to be stuck where you are. Now, to have ideas generates a level of risk. Risk because you're unsure of what is going to happen. But the Word of God has an answer to that. It says, but the way of the righteous is made plain. So when God gives you ideas, he will also begin to show to you what you need to do for every step. He doesn't show you all the way through from beginning to the end. He shows you as much as the light you're carrying shows you. It's a lamp. So we must not be afraid to dare. We must not be afraid to dare. If we refuse to dare, we refuse to grow. And that is limiting. It becomes that thorn, hedge of limitation. Some of the things that we are doing right now as individuals, whoever it is that's listening to me, might be a key to your next room. But every new room you get into, you step into a level of ignorance. What do I mean by that? It's a level of ignorance to the extent that it is new to you, and you don't know everything in that new room. You don't know all the players in that room. You don't know who is the powerhouse in that room. You're going to have to learn. You have to grow. And that's where being a man who is righteous, who has the ear of God, and who whose ears God has, gets talked to. You have an understanding, and things are made plain to you. Things are made easier to you because you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Being slow in the mind means that we are pursuing things from the wrong perspective. From a very wrong perspective. Now, let's go on. We went on to a little bit of verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father. Actually, we did cover this part. But a foolish man despiseth his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father. That wisdom comes because of not despising the mother. Because mothers educate, mothers nourish, mothers bring their children to a place of understanding. And if they're listening to their mothers, a good mother, that is, and not despising, they end up becoming good fathers. The Bible shows us severally about different kings, and it always points to the mother. The mother this, mother that. But at the same time, this is not very good. At the same time, when the guy is bad, he's the father. He did all the evil stuff that the father did. Wow. A wise son makes a glad father. Anyway, let's leave that alone for now. It says, fully is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Somebody who is destitute of wisdom spends his time celebrating foolishness. And the biggest level of foolishness is not believing that there is a God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now that foolishness of there is no God, it's not just somebody being an atheist. It is the person who is not walking in faith. That's a person who's a fool. Remember, the fool comes, hears the word of God, and doesn't do it. So the fool can be sitting right in church. And satisfied with his foolish ways because he's destitute of wisdom. The Lord deliver us from evil. You know, when you are destitute, you are lacking. You don't have. So a destitute person, destitute of wisdom, is a person who does not have wisdom, who lacks wisdom, who has need of wisdom. James tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He's not going to upbraid you, but will provide what you need. Now, if he says if we lack or are destitute of wisdom, we shall ask, that's God saying, listen, I'm ready, I'm here, ready to fix it. I'm ready to fix it. You may not be destitute of wisdom in everything. You may be wise in certain areas and lacking in other areas. And humility causes us to cry out to God and say, God, I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, do not lean onto your own understanding. That's what Proverbs 3 tells us. It says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. So it's not a bad thing to grasp and say, I don't understand. If you don't understand, you don't understand. So you ask for wisdom. And as you ask for wisdom, God will grant the wisdom that you need for that particular situation. You're in a new room, in a new level, and everybody that is moving up in life comes to learn. I remember when my spiritual father brought me into the board of Maurice Rollo World Evangelism in Canada. I had no idea of what that was like, what that entails. So I had to ask for wisdom. How do I deal with this? How do I contribute? I'm in a board. How do I contribute to this board? What kind of questions do I need to ask? What do I need to suggest? But starting, I had to be quiet and watch the others that were there before me. They were there because they had been prayerfully picked out to be there, just like I was prayerfully picked out to be here. And if they're still here after so many years, they must know something. So keep your mouth shut and listen. You don't go there, "I'm so happy I'm here." Yeah, you should be happy. But if you're mouthy, you expose your foolishness and your ignorance. So you keep your mouth quiet, you listen. And then you ask the right questions. And after, I don't know, 2 years or something like that, I was not only in the Canadian board, I was in the US board that runs the whole thing. How did I get from here to here? And then I was in the legacy board. So the three main boards I was in, I was the only one other than Papa and Mama Cerullo that were in the all three boards. It was grace, it was mercy. Is it because I have some humongous thing going on? No. It was just the loving kindness of God and the wisdom to know how to carry yourself so that you're a contributor, somebody who's contributing to the well-being and the promotion and the increase of whatever it is that God was doing and is still doing. That's an important thing. So, a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Walking uprightly. Then it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. I think I started from the wrong place. I think we did all of this already. But that's all right. I'm not repeating myself, I don't think. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. We need counsel, godly counsel. Don't be afraid of counsel. Don't be afraid of other people speaking into whatever it is that you're trying to do. They may be saying something that you're not seeing. They may have an idea and information to bring to the table that's going to help you accomplish what you want to accomplish. So, you need proper counsel. Or else your purposes get disappointed. Your purpose can be great. You have a great idea. But no counselors. So there's a good chance it's going to fail. The percentage is high. But who do you get as counselors? Counselors are people, not yes men or yes women. That's not a counselor. Counselors come alongside and join in seeing where you want to go, and now help administer that vision so they have your heart, they have your good at heart, and they're going to bring to you the right things, say the right things to you, because they love you. They don't want you to fail, and they don't want your purpose to fail. So they're not asking questions to torpedo whatever it is that you're trying to do. They ask questions to help you sharpen your thoughts and your goals. That's the person that's helping you. Someone's asking you the proper questions, and you can respond to their questions. And if you don't understand the question, ask them to clarify what their thoughts are. And if you're still not getting it, investigate to find out how whatever it is they're requesting of you is going to help accomplish what needs to be accomplished. A counselor is not there to take over or even change your vision, the vision that God has placed in your heart. Counselors are not there to divert it, like the old prophet that comes to the young prophet and say, well, I think you've done what God wanted you to do. The miracle happened. The altar got split, you know. Now it's okay, come back. Come eat at my house. I'm a prophet just like you. And diverts what God said. No. It is important, extremely important, that the one who gave you the instruction, who gave you the vision, be the one that speaks to you ultimately about that vision that he has planted in your spirit. Whether it's a vision about ministry or business or family or whatever. God has spoken to me. I've heard God. I'm not going to let anybody twist me away from what God said. But if you're going to help me fulfill what God said, you're my counselor. God will speak through you to me. Why do we need counselors? So that we are not proud. That's the primary purpose of having a counselor, in fulfilling the vision of God. So that you're not in the place of pride and arrogance. Me, myself, and I. Look at what I did. I'm a self-made man. There's no such thing. The counselors is God's way of helping you to understand that there are orders that he has sent into your life to help you fulfill the mandate he has for you. That's key. Now, it now says, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Get all the information that you need so that the purpose is established. Well, the word of God says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be what? Established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. Now it says, in a multitude of counselors, they are established. The difference is this. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. You are established. In the multitude of counselors, the purpose is established. You is different from purpose. You bring about the purpose. God says, you want to be established? You connect with me. I establish you. Now, from that place of establishment, watch this. It's very important. Without you being established in God, counselors will derail you. But when you're established in God, you know where you're going, what you want to do, what God has assigned you to do. And when you hear contrary voices that want to twist you away from the plans of God, you nip it. But God also brings you lots of help, lots of ideas. But you still have to pull all of that together with the wisdom of God to speak the word of God concerning whatever it is that you want to accomplish, because ultimately you become the prophet in declaring where you're going. Whether the prophetic word comes to you or you got it directly, either way, you fight with the prophetic word. Paul says to Timothy, he says, fight with the prophetic word that was proclaimed over you when hands were laid on you. So whether you get it from somewhere else or something that God raised up inside of you, it is with that prophetic word as a sword that you fight with. You don't let go of it. You don't let go of that word of God. God, this is what you said, and this is what I'm saying. You say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, shall come to pass, shall come to pass. You shall have what you say. So, yes, you get in counselors. You are established by God first. But now, whatever the counselors are speaking, you pull in all of that as a prophetic declaration to declare the purpose of God. So, would you know it? Verse 23 says, a man had joy by the answer of his mouth. Not the folly of, or the joy of the fool brings about destitution. This is, a man had joy by the answer of his mouth. Why? He's been meditating on the word of God. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Remember when God spoke in Genesis 1, he always ended, it was good. It was good. It was good. So this whole concept here is a concept of creativity. Creativity founded on the prophetic word, founded in the purpose that counselors have come to help you accomplish. And sometimes, part of the counsel is not just advice, but a going forth to manifest whatever it is that needs to be manifested. good example of it. First time I saw it come to play was at least here in this house, was we're going to receive Papa for the first time, and that was 2000. Yeah, 2000. And Pastor Pat and Sister Sharon, they both came to me, said, "We're going to be having the man of God come. We have some ideas." We put out this, they had this binder or something, but different information on it, this. Will this help? I said, wow, will that ever help? We put everything together. They worked it out. I didn't have to worry about that. I didn't have to concern myself about that. That is a counselor. They manifested or brought together what was needful to accomplish the purpose. And every department needs to do the same. So, for example, we just had special meetings a week and a half ago. Every department. So we're going to have special meetings. Every department needs to take their information and say, how does this department make this happen smoothly? How many ushers would we need? What kind of sound do we need? Prison worship, excuse me. Prison worship, how should we present ourselves? If we're going to have special meetings and there's all kinds of people coming through these doors, what should we, and how should we present ourselves as a church, as a community? Is there announcements that are needful so that those coming through the doors know something about the church that they may not have known? We have Christian education. Let's do a video for Christian education. I know it's special meetings, but if we can put a short clip together, you know, at some point, maybe it will be played and people will know about our Christian education department and stuff like that. That's how things work with counselors. And now, the mouth of the one who is spearheading whatever it is that needs to be said, the Bible says here, yeah, joy is the end result. Joy is the end result. A man had joy by the answer of his mouth. If a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, then it's also true that a man has grief, pain, by the answer of his mouth. You have to be careful about what you say and how you say it. Because having said it, you cannot take it back. You can ruin a whole lifetime saying the wrong words, not knowing you're talking to. You know, when we talk about respect of persons, we only think about, okay, this person is this kind of caliber, this person is this kind of treatment. This person over here is not well put together, is not well dressed. He looks like he's poor, he needs to be over there. And not recognizing that sometimes great things come in very bad looking packages. Oh, this, it's in a garbage bag, this garbage bag, I threw that away. But that garbage bag that you just threw away has diamonds and stuff inside. You know how many people is a man in Kenya that is a billionaire, and he became that by collecting garbage and opening the garbage and filtering through the garbage and finding out diamonds, rings, cash, all kinds of things. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with the man have joy by the answer of his mouth? Did you go somewhere else? No. A man will speak out of the abundance of his heart. When the Bible talks about the abundance of your heart, it's not just talking about this thing here pumping, it's talking about your mind. How did that guy come to that place? It was an idea. I know of a man, actually I got a text message. I went upstairs to check on some stuff, and I got a text message from a dear friend from Trinidad. And I had gone many years back to minister in Trinidad, and this dear brother introduced me to another guy, young man. He's an orphan. He was orphaned maybe around when he was 4 or 5 years old. And had to stay with some relatives that weren't treating them very well, himself and his sister. And one day he's going out and he sees a penny and picks it up. And every day he started looking for pennies. And he would find them and put them together. And he would take it to the bank and open that bank account. And he would bring these pennies. And after a while, you know how if you are driving and you have a particular car, maybe it's a white whatever, you start seeing those same cars everywhere? Okay. That's because you've honed into something. So because he was honed into something, he starts seeing pennies everywhere. And he'll carry bags. So the bank said, once they see this kid coming, they will, oh no, you're not going to keep us like this. Anyhow, cut a long story short, this guy, from those pennies, by the time he was a teenager, was pushing $1 million. He's now a millionaire and owns his own banks from picking pennies. How did he get there? A man had joy by the hands of his mouth. Guess what? He did not go to that bank and start chastising them. Just count the money. Please. If I count it and I tell you how much it is, you might not believe me, so you have to count it for me. The man at the beautiful gate was 40 years old, didn't get carried there every day by having a bad attitude. You have to be lovable by how you talk so somebody can help you. And when you say the right things at the right time, it opens up situations for you. That's just the way it is. If you're brash, people start building walls around you and they hedge you in. If you say the right things, it becomes well with your soul. You begin to create things that help you depart from the place of limitation, the slothful is hedged in by a hedge of thorns. But when you speak the right things out of your mouth at the right time, good things happen. They do. The way of life is above to the wise. Powerful statement. The way of life is above to the wise. If you and I died in Christ, then we should seek those things which are above. That's true wisdom. What is the idea? Seeking the kingdom of God first. That's the idea. That's true wisdom. Putting God first. And not leaning onto your own understanding. Put God first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. The way of life is above. Seeking those things which are above. Not those things which are beneath that can be corrupted. It says, put your treasures above. That's what the Word of God says. Where thieves cannot come. Where moth and rust and corruption cannot come. For where the heart of, where the treasure of a man is, there is his heart also. And the statement, where the treasure of a man is, that's where his heart is also, means that if your treasure can be corrupted and can be stolen, and your heart is in the same place, your heart can be stolen. It can be corrupted. So God says, put it above. Let it be above. And the net result is that you're going to depart from hell beneath. That's straightforward. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. What is the point? Everybody is starting from hell beneath. That's the point. In this world, you will have tribulation. It's sin and corruption is in this world. We were born and shaped in iniquity and sin. We transgress us. Hell is here. You see, but if you want to get out of it, start thinking above. Think above. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ, being one with Him. And when you do that, you die with Him, you're buried with Him, you ascend with Him, you sit at the right hand of the Father with Him and in Him, far above. So God gives us the antidote to the pain and defeat of hell. He says, have an above mentality. How do you get that? By humbling yourself in the sight of God. First of all, he says, submit yourself unto God, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. But people want to resist the devil, resist whatever it is that is contrary to them, without first of all submitting themselves to God. You may get away with that for a little while, until you meet up with a demonic force that does not respond to your psychology and your positive thinking and your self-confidence, and get your head beat in. Did you know the Word of God says we're not wrestling? It doesn't say we are wrestling against flesh and blood. It says against principalities and against powers. Now, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, those are not demons. Demons have to possess a physical body, whether it be a person or an animal or even a thing. Demons can operate there. When you're talking about principalities, these are disembodied entities that don't need a physical body to operate. So you have to operate from a higher level to demolish their effectiveness. So the Word of God says, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And when saying flesh and blood there, it's talking about not wrestling against demonic forces that operate through people. See, that's not what I mean. Those you just cast away. Cast them out. Get away from here. Talking about principality, you've got some serious battles on your hand. You need help. And if you need that help, it must come because you first submitted yourself to God. A lot of people running around challenging all kinds of stuff. The Bible says even Michael did not even dare just bring an accusation. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. You got to pull on the Lordship of Jesus Christ to defeat those kind of forces. And we're going to stop there today, because the 25th verse is a serious one. We need to spend some time on that one. And but we'll stop here today and spend some time praying here. Recognizing this, it is important that we be humble. Remember what we said about counselors? The reason they are there is to deal with the spirit of pride. So we're humble and recognize that we are not self-made people, but we need each other. In the church, we need each other. I cannot come here and think I can do everything by myself. I don't need anybody. It's not true. It's a lie. We need each other. So tonight we'll close by praying, God, help me to know who I am in you, to be established in the truth of who I am in you, and recognizing, thirdly, that I do not only need you, I need my fellow brothers and sisters whom you've sent to help me fulfill your divine mandate. And then we're going to pray, help me to be free from the laziness of the mind and not be hedged in by thorns. And finally, we're going to pray, Lord, establish me and cause me to prosper as I open my mouth in wisdom in due seasons, so that it is well with my soul. If we can have those. You just have one? Okay. I guess today's Wednesday, not Friday, and so you're not expecting prayer points as much as I gave. What do you have so that I can... Okay. All right. Well, we want to start out by asking God to help us to be established and prosperous, allowing those that God has committed to be destiny helpers to help us fulfill the mandate of the Lord. We want to pray and ask God not to be slothful or lazy in our minds, but rather having the mind of Christ, fulfill His mandate in us and through us. And I'll put it, this as a third one, to have the mindset, having a heavenly mindset, not a mindset of the world, which is hellish. We want to seek first the kingdom of God, let that be established in the core of our person, so we can live life in an honorable way to glorify God. Able to get those? All right. All right, let's pray those prayer points. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the study of your word. Lord, we don't want to be forgetful hearers. We want to be doers of your work. We want to see your kingdom come and your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we ask, O God, that in our believing in you, we get established. And in believing in your prophetic word, we be prosperous. So we thank you, Lord, for godly counselors, helpers, destiny helpers that you've assigned even before the foundations of the earth to help us. And Lord, O God, that their help will not just be in the counsel and advice of words, but also in the production of that which is needful for us to fulfill the mandate that we have before you. We trust you for guidance. We trust you, God, for peace of mind, for joy that passes all understanding. We thank you, Lord, for the keys of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. So, Lord, help us not to be slothful or lazy in our minds, hedging ourselves in with excuses. Excuses about why we cannot do something, why we cannot be something, why we cannot accomplish something. Always coming up with something, procrastinating about different things. But Lord, O God, that in the wisdom and the quickening of your spirit, that Lord, O God, that we are quickened, enabled, empowered to make decisions, honorable decisions that glorify you and make it possible for your word to be proclaimed in all the earth, that your vision and purpose, O God, in us and through us, O God, be fulfilled supernaturally. Give us a heavenly mindset, a seeking of that which is above, where there is no corruption. Let our hearts and our treasures, O God, be before you, incorruptible. Lord, O God, we just give you praise that we have been infused with your character, infused with your very life, infused with your strength, infused with the capacity of your love to live life to the full and in honor of your name. Build your church, the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. We receive this mandate of grace. And we say we are blessed and highly favored of you. We receive your wisdom. And we're empowered to succeed in every sphere that you've called us to. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. I know that God is with us and is helping us. Let's continue to pray one for the other. The Lord's strength envelop each one of us supernaturally for his glory and honor. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Oh, wow. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. There's so many things that come to my mind right now, but I sense that there's a sense of urgency for the church to come together and just to seek God for, because there's an urgency for prayer. There's a lot of things happening around us. We have a lot of ideas, and we need to put these ideas together properly, and we get these things done through prayer. Tonight he was speaking on exactly how to progress within the church, how to progress within our callings. And God's given us, each and every one of us, the ability to grow in our callings. Whatever we're doing, whether you're a painter or whether you're a truffer or whether you're a carpenter or mechanic or working computers, God's called you somewhere. And I believe God can download ideas into each and everyone's mind, or, you know, whatever they're doing, they can grow in that. Knowledge is always part of seek ye first the kingdom of God. Knowledge of the word, but knowledge also in your doings. That is seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God always grows. It doesn't get thrown down. It's meant for growth. One tree has many seeds. Many trees can be grown from that. The stem of wheat can grow many other stems from the seeds that it produces. There's multiplication. It's the same with our ideas. What God has put into the capability of our minds to produce new things for the body and for the growth of everything around you, yourself. Now, we need to come to prayer as well for other churches. There's a sense of urgency for that. It's very deep in my spirit. There's so many changes happening in this world right now, throughout everywhere. It's the only way that we win against these principalities is when the church comes together. It's like our pastor said tonight. Principalities are a different kind of evil. They're not just a regular demon that we cast out or deal with, or it's not like that. These are higher, in a higher realm. And that's why the church has to come together for that. If my house shall be called the house of prayer. And I just hope that people come to pray this Friday. We have prayer once a week. We pray during on Sunday and tonight and casual, but Friday it's specifically for dealing with things like that. And everything around us can be changed through prayer. The Spirit of God is willing. We're seated in higher places, high above all principalities. And we can conquer, but one man alone, it's not as easy as with a group of people. The church needs to come together. Whether it's this group or other groups, they need to come together to battle those principalities. And then we will see changes in our governments. We will see changes in different things in the countries around us, not just Canada, but the states and other countries. And I believe it's urgent for all men, all Christians, to come together. So tonight, well, I think everybody's given their offerings already. I thank God for that. God loves a cheerful giver. Ha, ha, ha. You should be smiling when you give, because God loves a cheerful giver.